Today's daf is Yevamos daf Mem Dalet, and we will begin from the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. So the last few dafin were a little bit of a digression from the core sugyas of Maseches Yevamos. We've been dealing with the very fundamental halacha of Havchana, which states that if a woman was married, she has to wait 90 days, 3 months, in order for her to get married again. Today's daf is going to return to the regular program, the first half of the daf anyways, and we're going to re-engage with the core sugyas of Masechtas Yevamos. So a very foundational Mishnah, a lot of what we already know, because we're 40 plus dafin into the Masechta already, but some very core gemaras as it relates to Yevamos in the first part of today's daf. Sokti Mishnah. Arba Achen, there were four brothers, Nisuin Arba Nashim, that were married to four women, Umesu, and they all died. Says the Mishnah, Imrotza HaGadol Shebehem Liyabim Eskulon Harishos Biyot. If the oldest surviving brother wants to be Miyabim, all four of these Yevamos, this is something that he's allowed to do. So the Mishnah is talking about four brothers that were married women. Notice, there's no mention of sisters, so this is not such a complicated Mishnah. The Mishnah also seems to say that all four brothers died. Now, if all four brothers died, so who's the remaining brother that is potentially going to do Yibum? The Gemara is going to ask the question. Clearly, there's going to have to be another brother. But what the Mishnah is saying is that if somebody would want to be Miyabim for Yevamos, that's something he'd be allowed to do. The four Yevamos have no relation between themselves. As a result, there's nothing precluding him theoretically from doing so. Obviously, there's some chiddush here in the Mishnah. The Gemara will get into that. Misha yinasu l'shtei nashim. If somebody was married to two wives, umeis and he died. So Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven dies, leaves over no children, and leaves over not one wife. He leaves over two wives. So Shimon, the surviving brother, has a mitzvah to do yibum. Says the Mishnah, something we all know. Biyasa oichalitzasa shel achas mehem poiteres saras. Shimon doesn't have to do yibum and chalitza to both of the yevamos. Rather, as long as he does yibum or chalitza to one of the yevamos, that's going to be okay. Again, yevamos 10101. If there are multiple yevamin, many brothers, and multiple yevamos, many tsaros, as long as one yevam does either yibum or chalitza to one of the yevamos, that takes care, that's mesader, the entire mitzvah's yibum. Mish continues and says, "Hoisa achas kesher v'achas besula." Let's say Reuven dies, leaves over two wives. One was a kesher, meaning she was kesher l'kahuna, and the other one was psula. She was psula l'kahuna. So, what would be an example of a woman that's psula l'kahuna? She had previously been married and then she was divorced. So, says the Mishnah, "Hoya chaylets." In the event that Shimon decides that he wants to do chalitza, chaylets of psula. He should dafka do chalitza to the woman that's a gerusha, the one that's anyways possible to a kayin, v'mhayim miyabim, but if he wants to do yibum, miyabim l'ksheir, meaning not dafka d'ksheir, but even to d'ksheir. So if you want to do yibum, you could do yibum to either one of these yevamos. However, if you're going to choose to do chalitza, we encourage you to do chalitza to the psula. Why? So this is not a yevamos halacha, but this is more like the Gemara is going to say, it's just a proper thing to do. And the reason is because once a woman receives chalitza, she becomes pasul to a kayin, which means the kayhanim have one less woman available for them to be able to marry. And she has suddenly all these options of kayhanim that maybe she could have married are not going to be available to her. So what we say is, being that one of these two women are anyways not okay to marry a kayin because she's a gerusha, so the chalitza is not going to add any additional psul. So rather be chaylets to the woman that's anyways pasul than to be chaylets to the ksheir. So the Mishnah mentioned a few very basic halachas in Yevamos, and the Gemara is going to get into them one at a time. So what was the first halacha of the Mishnah? There were four brothers that were all married, and they all died. Says the Mishnah, if the gadol shebahem, if the oldest brother wants to be miyabim, even all four of them, harishos biyadi. Says the Gemara, arba achin sol gadaitach. Could the case of this Mishnah actually work if there were only four brothers to begin with? If there are four brothers and all four of the brothers died, then there's no surviving brother to do yibum. So clearly there must have been more than four brothers. The Gemara, there were ele'ema arba me'achin. Obviously this was a larger family. There were more than four brothers. Four of the brothers died, then the halach is the gadol who now has a mitzvah to do yibum, which eat with each one of the yevamos. If he wants to be miyabim all four, harishus biyadim. Says the Gemara, is that true? V'shafkilei, will Bezdin really allow this person to be miyabim all four yevamos? And in the course of this next discussion, we'll see what the chiddush is. Meaning, at first glance, We would think, why not? Why can't a man be miyabim for Yavamis if he wants to? The fact that he's going to end up being married to four women, that's not the problem, because obviously the Mishnah was written pre-Cherim the Rabbeinu Gershom, where that was okay. So says the Gemara, but the Gemara approaches it actually from the other direction. Will we really allow this person to be miyabim for Yavamis? Why not? Atanya, we learned in the Braisa. So it says in the Torah that in the event that the Yavam didn't want to do Yibum, so I'll just read the whole pasuk, the karu lo ziknei iroi, the Ziknei Ha'ir, the Bezdin is going to summons this Yavam to court, the Dibru Elov, and they're going to talk to him, the Amar, and he's going to have to declare very, very clearly, Loicha Fatzti Lakachta, that I refuse to do Yibum. Says the Gemara, when it says V'karu Loi Ziknei Iroi, Hein V'Loi Shluchim, we learn from there that Bezdin doesn't have a right to send a Shliach Bezdin, which so often they did. In this case, they have to do it by themselves. V'Dibru Elov, when it says in the Torah, they're going to talk to him, Alam Eitzim Asin Lei Eitzoy Genes. Like, what they would do is, they would try to give him a good Eitzah, they would give him good advice. Shem Hayahu Yelad V'Hiz Kena, in the event that he was younger, and she was older, who's talking V'Hiyalda, he was older and she was younger, they would tell him, Malucha Eitzel Yalda, Malucha Eitzel Zikna, I don't know if this is an appropriate shidduch. Why don't you find someone that's a little bit more appropriate? It's like this, you're not going to end up with a fight inside your house. Meaning, the preferable mitzvah is always Yibum versus Chalitza. But in the event that Bezdin deems that if a Yibum is going to take place over here, it's going to end up with Shalom Bayis issues, it's not going to end up in a good place. So then, rather than encouraging the person to do the mitzvah of Yibum, which is what you think we would do, we actually discourage him from doing Yibum because we feel that it's just going to end up being a mess. Okay, what does that have to do with our Gemara? The Gemara assumes that if a man's going to be married to four wives right now, nothing good is going to come from it. And as a result, it's going to end up bringing ketata. So, freak the Gemara, just like we would discourage Yibum in the event that the ages were not appropriate, so too it makes sense that we should discourage Yibum in the event that this man is going to end up being married to four wives. So if that's the case, freak the Gemara, why is it so pashut in the Mishnah that Imrotz Liyabim Miyabim L'chura we should be discouraging him in light of the halach of this brisa that says V'dibru Elav Melamid Shemisian Loi Eitzah Hagenis Loi? You would think the Eitzah Hagenis over here is we would say, listen, sir, I think we would recommend maybe do chalitza to one or two. Right? It's not a good idea to go ahead and marry four women. So the Gemara says Loitzricha De'Efshale. You have to say it's talking about where the Ziknei Yair deemed that it is going to be okay. So Rashi says, what did they deem? Meaning, what did they see about this man that they think he's going to be able to be married to all four wives? So Rashi says that the primary reason we would discourage a man from being married to four wives is because probably he's not going to be able to afford to be married to four wives. It's just going to be very, very expensive. So in the event that this is a man of means, he could afford it. So in that case, Enochanami would be okay. Meaning, we're making an akimta in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about the real person that the Bezdin Deen would be able to handle four wives, be able to afford four wives, and it's in that instance that it's going to be okay. Zok Tigmar Ihachi, if that's the case of Filotuvanami, so why'd we stop with our Ba'achin? I don't know, if there were 10 brothers, then shouldn't Allah be the same? Meaning the Gemara is arguing that it sounds like from the Mishnah a little bit that there still is a maximum, that we still limit it at four. If we're willing to make an akimta that we're dealing with a man of means, either of us, so it could be more than four as well. So the Gemara says, Eitzah Toivah Gamash 1. At the end of the day, Chazal is still giving an Eitzah Toivah. Dalit in Tvei Loi. We still don't want a man to be married to more than four wives. Ki heichi denimte oina b'chodesh. So like this person is going to be able to satisfy his oina obligation to each one of his wives at least once a month. So what does this mean? We know that every married man has three obligations. Besides for everything he obligates himself in the ksuba, but there's a chiyuv she'er, which means he has to provide his wife with mezoinos, with food, ksus, he has to give her clothing, and oina, which is tashmish. Now, what's the chiyuv oina? So these are sugis and mesachtes ksubis, mishnayis and gemaris. It really depends on what the person does. Depends on what his parnasa is, how available really he is for oina, and that's what dictates, that's what determines what his chiyuv oina is. Rashi says that the oina of a Talmud Chacham is once a week. So in the event that this person is a Talmud Chacham, so his oina would be once a week. So if he has four wives, then at the very least, each woman will be able to receive oina once a chaydash. But if he's a Talmud Chacham, whose oina is only once a week, and he's going to have more than four wives, so it's going to come out that each wife is going to receive oina less than once a month, that's not good. Eitzah Toivah Kamash Malan, that in the event that he's a Talmud Chacham, he shouldn't have more than four wives. So the truth is, there's a lot of discussion in the Rishonim, because usually when you think of oina, you think that it's a man's responsibility towards his wife. Just like She'er, is about providing to your wife. Ksus is providing to your wife. Oina is providing to your wife. Which means if the Oina of a Talmud Chacham is once a week, it means he has to, l'chayra, provide Oina to his wife once a week. If he has four wives, and he's doing Oina once a week, so that each of his wives is only receiving Oina once a month, so how's he satisfying his obligation of Oina? The Chi of Oina is not what he's supposed to do. The Chi of Oina is what his wife is supposed to receive. So if he has four wives, and he's doing Oina once a week to each wife, so that each wife is receiving once a Chodesh, how's he satisfying his obligation of Oina's Talmud Chacham, that's once a week? Rishonim asks this kasha. So this is all discussed in the Rishonim. Very good. And this is all discussed in the Rishonim. But one thing you do see from this, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and that is that even pre-Cherem the Rabbeinu Gershon, it wasn't a hefkevelt that a man was allowed to have as many wives as he wanted to have. Even pre the Cherem, there were certain regulations. You see from here, four, but there is a concept of how many wives a person's allowed to have. There's a Mesha Chachma, I don't have it in front of me, but Meir Simcha says somewhere in Mesha Chachma that when Yaakov was leaving Lavan, so Lavan tells Yaakov, Im ta'ana es benoisai, I want you to be careful, I want you to take care of my wives. So he says, Im ta'ana es benoisai, Vim tikach noshin, and make sure you don't marry any additional wives. So Zokta Mesha Chachma, what was Lavan saying? Lavan was saying was this, because Yaakov had four wives already, and Yaakov was a Talmud Chacham. So his Oina was presumably once a week. If he was going to take another wife, it would come out that each one of his wives was going to end up having Oina less than once a week. So he said him, Ta'anu es benoisai. What do you mean, Ta'anu es benoisai? If you're going to withhold from them, Tashmish Amita, how so? In Tikhu Noshim, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to take another wife, that's what he was telling her not to do. Either way, Zokti Gemara Vayta, Misha Hoyo Naso. He said, the Mishnah said if somebody was married to more than one wife, and then he died. So the surviving brother has a mitzvah of Yibum v'chalitza, but he doesn't do Yibum v'chalitza to both of the wives. He does Yibum v'chalitza only to one of the wives, right? As long as he does either Yibum or Chalitza to one of these two wives, that is going to exempt all the Yavamin and all the Yavamis from the mitzvah of Yibum. Again, this is the most basic halacha in Yavamis. What's the makar to it? You sort of take it for granted. But in this Gemara right here, the Gemara is going to work through what the Makar says. The Gemara, maybe the Yavam should have a chiyuv to be miyabim. Both of the Yavamas, I'm Rav Chiya Rabbo, I'm Rav Yochanan, I'm Akrat Sunta from a pasuk. It says, Asher lo yivne as base achiv. Base is a lashon yachid. Bayis echad hu boyne vein boyne shtei batim. We learn from here, you miyabim one Yavam, you're not miyabim two Yavamas. Then nichlois le chavayu. Maybe you should do chalitza to both. I'm a marzut shabat tuvi amakrat. It says, base chalutzanal. Again, base. Bias, it's a lashon yachid, and we learn from here. Bias echad uchaylitz, ve'in chaylitz v'shnei batim. The Agoy Sabach inserts an important line here. Says the Gemara v'nachloitz l'chada v'niyabim l'chada. Maybe you should do chalitza to the first yavama and then do yibam to the second yavama. Amakra, I'm reading from the Bach. The pasuk says ashelo yivne, and we learn from there kivan shaloi bana shuvlo yivne. That once you did chalitza, at that point you're not allowed to do yibum anymore. So it's not an option to do chalitza to one and then do yibum to the other one. Says the Gemara uniyabim l'chada v'nachloitz l'chada. Maybe fakir, do first yibum and then chalitza. On my crow, the pasuk says in layachba, it says that if the man doesn't want to do yibum, then he has a mitzvah to do chalitza. We learn from there, hachafetz yibum. If he wanted to do yibum, then he could have done yibum. Meaning, the only time there's a mitzvah chalitza is if he wanted to do yibum, he could have. And we learn from there, kol oil yibum oil chalitza, and kol shein oil yibum ein oil chalitza. What does the Gemara mean to say? Being that once you do yibum with one yavama, you can't be miyabim the other yavama because bias echad. So you don't have a mitzvah chalitza either because once you can't do yibum, you're an ein oil yibum. The kol shein oil yibum ein oil chalitza. But oil the Gemara says another reason why you don't do yibum and then do chalitza. Shelo yomer, so that people shouldn't say bias miktsas. Because people are going to say that maybe this is what you're always supposed to do. So the Gemara says, let them say it. The Gemara in the Habamina thinks it's okay. So let people think that you're always supposed to do Yibum and then you're supposed to do Chalitza. And the Gemara says, no. Because if first they would do Yibum and then they would do Chalitza, I wouldn't have a problem with it. We're afraid that if you're going to say do Yibum and then Chalitza, people might do Chalitza and then Yibum. That's already a problem, like we said, because Kivan Shalaybana Shuv. Loi Yivna. So the Gemara said that when two Yivamas fall a Yibum, you're Miyabim or you Chaylitz one of them. Meaning, You're not miyabim both. You're not choylates both. You don't do yibim to one, chalitza to the other, chalitza to one, yibim to the other. Why not? So again, we take it for granted. But it's a Gemara. The Gemara works it through here in Yevamis Memdalad Manaf. The reason you're not miyabim both is learned out from a pasuk. It says, Ashewa yivne as base achid. Bayis echad hu boyne vein boyne shnei batim. Terry wrote the word base. It's a lashon yachid to teach me there's only one bayis, one yevama. By chalitza, you have the same exact lashon. Base chalutzana. So you know you're not going to do chalitza to both. Maybe do chalitza then yibum. Kivan shaloi bana, shuv lo yivna. Maybe do yibum and then do chalitza. No, because being that once you do yibum, you can't do yibum to the other. So it's eino oil le yibum, b'chol she eino oil le yibum, eino oil le chalitza. Now the Gemara asks another kasha. Ve'ema ki ikka chada teskai mitzvah yibum, ki ikka tarti loik teskai mitzvah yibum. We're making a big deal about the fact that yibum and chalitza is only to one bias. Beis achiv, beis chalutz. Maybe we should darshan this pasuk to the extreme. Maybe we should say that the only time there's a mitzvah yibum or a mitzvah chalitza is if one yivama falls liyibum, where it's beis achiv, beis chalutzana. But maybe if there's two yivamas that fall liyibum, maybe there's no yibum at all. Now that would dramatically impact the entire masechta. But says the Gemara, maybe that's the halacha. Maybe if there's one yivama, tzedah mitzvah yibum v'chalitza, but if there's two yivamas, there's no mitzvah yibum v'chalitza. So the Gemara says, and Cain, if that's the case, like a shmak eteretz, tzoras erva da'asa rachmano mamali. Then why did I need the whole drush of tzoras erva? Why did I need litzra on daf gimel amid beis? Why did I need ulekochalei l'ishish of yibma, Rebbe's drush on daf ches and yivamas? Why did I need the whole first part of the masechta, which from drushes teaches me that a tzaras erva doesn't fall the yibam v'chalitza. Hash the beis ba'alma amrit lapnei chalitza v'yibam ninu tzaras erva mibaya. If every time there's two tzaras that fall the yibam, there's no yibam v'chalitza, so kavu chaymer if it's a tzaras erva. Oh, but the point is, what do I need tzaras erva for? The minute there's a tzaras erva situation, that means by definition there's two yivamas that fall the yibam. If there's two yivamas that fall the yibam, there's anyways no yibam v'chalitza. Samar says it's not a tiny itzrich. Maybe I need. So good, I think we have a thought. Erva avroy kaima. Could be two yivamas to fall yibam, there's no yibam v'chalitza. So then why do I need a separate drasha for tzaras erva? So the Gemara says, alam deshahavamina. Because I would have thought that when an erva and a tzaras erva falls yibam, maybe the erva is not falling yibam at all. Maybe only the tzaras erva is falling yibam. An erva is removed from yibam. Maybe she's so removed from yibam that we don't even see her as if she fell yibam. So if she didn't fall liyibum, it's only the tzara that's falling liyibum. So maybe the tzara serva is viewed not as a situation where two yivamas are falling liyibum, but only one, only the tzara serva. So I would have thought that even though ba'alma, when two yivamas fall liyibum, there's no yibam v'chalitza, but a tzara serva, maybe there is yibam v'chalitza, because the erva didn't fall, it's only the tzara that fell. Kamash malan, that's the chiddish, that's sira, she's going to be aser. But again, the point is freit the Gemara, maybe the only time there's yibam v'chalitza is if one yivama falls liyibam, but if two yivamas fall liyibam, it says beis achiv, beis chalutzana. Maybe there's no yibam at all. Don't tell me the ra'i is from tzara serva. So again, how do you know this yibam v'chalitza if two yivamas fall liyibam? So the Gemara says elo yivimta yivimta riba. It's learned out from a pasuk. It says the word yivimta once, and then it says the word yivimta tzim tzvaitimu, and that teaches me that even if there's two yivamas that fall liyibam, still there's going to be a mitzvah of yibam v'chalitza. The last halacha of the Mishnah was hoisa achas. What happens if there's two yivamas? One of the yivamas was a ksheira, the other one was a psula. Meaning one of them was anyways pasula kahuna. She was a grusha from a previous marriage. So in the event that Shimon, the brother, decides to do chalitza, don't be chaylitz the ksheira. There's no reason to make this woman suddenly not be able to be married to a kohen. One of these women anyways can't marry a kohen. Let's be honest, it doesn't matter if you do chalitza to this woman, you do chalitza to that woman. So just do chalitza to the woman that anyways won't be impacted by it. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Kan shana Rabbi. It was in this Mishnah that Rebbe taught us a Musar. Kan Shana Rebbe. Right? Sometimes Rebbe threw in, when he was Masada the Mishnayas, a little bit of Musar, a little bit of sensitivity, just some good ethics. And that is, Yishpeich Adam Mei Boiroi. Don't take the water of your bar and pour it down the drain, if someone else is going to need it. Meaning, for you, it makes no difference who you do chalitza to. The reason it doesn't make a difference to him is because either way, he's not going to be able to marry her. Once you do chalitza, you can't marry this woman anyways. You can't marry the tzara. So for you, it really makes no difference. She's allowed to marry someone else, and kayhanim, maybe you want to marry her. And maybe she wants to marry kayhanim. So even though for you, it makes no difference, because regardless, you won't be able to marry her. If it's acherim tzrichim loy, there's a musr of layishmach adam meibayr of acherim tzrichim loyhem. And this is what Rebbe was referring to. So again, just to recap the... Right, exactly. So just to recap the Mishnah, The first halacha of the Mishnah was is that if a person wants to be miyabe, even for Yavamis, it's something he's allowed to do, only if he's a man of means, and even then, it sounds like we're going to limit it by four, because Eitz HaTayva Kamashmalan, at the very least, he should be able to provide Oina if he's a Talmud Chacham, once a month. What if he's not a Talmud Chacham? What if his Oina is more? So there's a discussion in the Rishayna. Maybe then he would be able to marry more than four. But we said that an interesting takeaway from this halach is that even pre-Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, there were certain regulations in terms of how many wives a person was allowed to marry. The second halach of the Mishnah, which is super integral to Yavamis, and that is if two Yavamis fall Yibam, there is a mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza, that we know. Also, all you need to do is Yibam Chalitza to one. Once you do Yibam Chalitza to the one, that knocks out, meaning there's no Yibam to both, there's no Chalitza to both, you don't do first Chalitza then Yibam, you don't even do first Yibam then Chalitza. The Gemara brought Makarius to all that. And the third halacha was that if one of the Yavamis is a Psula and one is a Ksheira, we would encourage the person in the event that he's doing Chalitza to do Chalitza to the one that's Psula. If you're doing Yibam, you can do Yibam to whoever you want, you're marrying her anyways. But if you're doing Chalitza, there's just no reason to do Chalitza to the woman that's Ksheira. And like Rabbi Yosef commented, really, the lesson is a musar. Kan shana rebi la yishbei chadam mei bayrei fa'acherim tzricham lahem. So the next part of the daf is going to pivot, again, the theme of Perek Achaylitz. We talk about Yavamis, but then immediately we interrupt and we go on these long digressions. That's what we're about to do right now. And we're going to discuss a halacha that's very important in not just Yavamis, but really the entire Seder Nashim, which we've just began. And that is discussing the laws of mamzeris. So we're familiar with the concept of a mamzer. A mamzer is a child that was born from some illicit union where the halach is he's not allowed to marry someone other than a fellow mamzeres. So, lo yovei mamzer b'kal Hashem. And a mamzer is literally distance, he's removed because of some soul that he has from being able to intermarry even amongst Yidden. So the question is, how does a child become a mamzer? It was a major machloikis tana. There were three shitas. There was the shita of Rabbi Akiva, the shita of the Chachamim, and then there was the shita of the Tana Rabbi Yeshua. The shita of Rabbi Akiva is that any time a child is born from a bia, that's aser, as long as the iser is chayve lavin plus, any child that's born is going to be a mamzer. So if a kohen, for example, would marry a grusha, which he's not allowed to do, and father a child, the halacha is that child would be a mamzer. So any child that's born from either a chayvei lavin, plus, what does plus mean? Or it's a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim, or a chayvei krisos, or a chayvei misas bezdin, if it comes from a bias iser of chayvei lavin plus, according to Rabbi Akiva, that child is going to be a mamzer. The Chachamim argued Rabbi Akiva, the Chachamim said that if a child is born from a chayvei lavin, the child's not going to be a mamzer. It has to be chayvei krisos. So if it's a chayvei krisos plus, what would be plus? Chayvei misas bezdin. So then the child is going to be a mamzer. Third sheet is Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says that even from a chayvei krisos, there's no mamzer. Certainly not from a chayvei misas b'dei shamayim, and certainly not from a chayvei lavin. When then is a child a mamzer? If the child was born as a result of a union that resulted in a chiyuv misas bezdin. So according to Rabbi Akiva, a child that's born from a chayvei lavin is a mamzer. According to the Chachamim, a child that's born from a chayvei krisus is a mamzer. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, a child that's born from a chayvei misas bezdin is going to be a mamzer. Now, another nafka mina in this shayla of what the definition of a mamzer is what happens if someone is mekadesh a chayvei lavin, or if someone's mekadesh a chayvei krisos, or if someone's mekadesh a chayvei misas bezdin. The two are talui zeh bezeh. Because Rabbi Akiva holds that if a child is born from a chayvei lavin, the child is a mamzer, Rabbi Akiva holds ein kedushin toivsim b'chayvei lavin. So if somebody would say, harei mekadesh es libet habah zuga das moish of Yisrael to chayvei lavin, there's no kedushin. They're not married. What does it mean they're not married? If someone else is mekadesh her, she could get married to somebody else. She's not an Eishes Ish. If someone's Baal El, he's not going to be Chayv. If he dies and leaves over no children, he's not a Yibam. She's not going to fall a Yibam. Kedushin's not Toifas B'Chayv Yilavin. According to the Chachamim, if someone's Mekadosh a Chayv Yilavin, the Kedushin is going to be Toifas. It's a Chayv Krisus that the Kedushin is not going to be Toifas. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's Chayv Mises Bezin. Either way, this is the very, very important Machloikis Tanon as it relates to the definition of a Manzer, as it relates to when we say Kedushin is not Toifas. One of the sugyas that deal with this are right here in Perek Acholitz, and it's the Gemara that we're about to learn. Zok Demishna, Hamach Zegrishasa. If somebody divorced his wife, she married somebody else, got divorced again, and now he wants to marry her. So he's been Machzer Grushasai, where she had gotten married in the interim. which is something that, of course, he's not allowed to do. Or if somebody marries a woman that he himself did chalitza to, if a man does chalitza, he's not allowed to marry that woman. And the reason is, it says in the Torah, kivan shaloi bana, shuv lo yifna. So there's a chayvei lavin to marry chalutzasei. V'hanoisei kreivas chalutzasei. Or if somebody marries one of the relatives of a woman that he did chalitza to, yoitzi, the halacha is, this marriage is not a marriage. V'havlad mamzer, and any child that was born from this is going to be a mamzer. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, azoy halt Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rabbi Akiva, if someone's machzir grishasei and has a child, or if somebody is noisei chalutzasei and has a child, or if somebody's even noisei kreves chalutzasei and has a child, the child's a mamzer. Chomim moimel, chomim say, ain't a vlad mamzer. The vlad is not going to be a mamzer. Moidim, chomim agreed to Rabbi Akiva, benoisei kreves grushasei. If somebody would marry the karev of a woman that he divorced, a vlad mamzer, in that instance, the vlad is going to be a mamzer. So we have a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the chachamim regarding vlad mamzer. And really, this machlokes, in light of the introduction we just spoke out, is the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the chachamim as it relates to what the definition of a mamzer is, right? Hamachzik grushasei is a chayvi lavin. A man has a loisasei to marry his wife that he divorced in the event that in the interim she got married to somebody else. But all it is a chayvi lav. Hanoisei chalutzasei. It's a chayvi lav. Kivan shalei bano, shuv lo yivna. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva holds, if there's a child, it's going to be a vlad mamzer. Because that's Rabbi Akiva shita, that a vlad mamzer comes from a chayvi lav. What do the chachamim say? In a vlad mamzer. Why? Because this is the shita of chachamim that hold that a mamzer is only if it comes from a chayvi krisus. Machze gushasei is nishkain chayvi krisus. Hanoisei chalutzasei is eich nishkain chayvi krisus. Aber umoitin, the chachamim are moida, benoisei kreivas gushasei is a vlad mamzer. Why? Because your wife's car, even if you divorced your wife, is a regular erva. She's a regular erva. All arayas are chayvi krisus. Some are also chayvi misas bezin, but all arayas are chayvi krisus. So then it was a chayvi krisus. It's a chayvi krisus. Over there, the child is going to be a mamzer. The only thing when you learn mishnayas, which the Gemara is going to discuss now, that it's tzorich bir, is why the Mishnah said hanoisei kroivas chalutzasei havlad mamzer. If someone marries the karev of a chalutza, so these were sugyas that we spoke about earlier in Yontif, and we said, Kan Shana Rebbe, that Krevas Chalutzas is only an Issa Durabanan. So if Krevas Chalutzas is only an Issa Durabanan, it's not even a Chayvi Lavin. If it's not even a Chayvi Lavin, why would the child be Mamzer? It's true, Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayvi Lavin produces Mamzer, but Krevas Chalutzas is an Issa Durabanan. It's only because a Chalutza mirrors a Grusha that Chazal were concerned, and they said that this union will be awesome. But it's only an Issa Durabanan. If it's an Issa Durabanan, and there's no Rabbi Akiva Shita, there's no one in the world that holds that if a child is born from an Issa Derabanan, that the child is going to be a mamzer. The Gemara is going to ask this kasha right now. Zok the Gemara. The sub Rabbi Akiva. Hanoisei krevas chalutzasei avlad mamzer. I understand Rabbi Akiva says a machzik grushasei vlad mamzer. I understand Rabbi Akiva holds hanoisei chalutzasei vlad mamzer. That is Rabbi Akiva Shita. It's chayvi lav and the child's going to be a mamzer. Oh, but the third case that Rabbi Akiva mentioned, hanoisei krevas chalutzasei. How could the vlad be mamzer? Amar ishlokish. Ishlokish said, kan shon Rabbi Akiva is grusha, but the vitei rachas chalutzasei, but the vitei soifrim. Didn't the Gemara's previous layer, Rish Lakish was the one that said it. He proved it from the Mishnayos, from all the sugyas, that Krevas Chalutzas is only in the Rabbanan. This is Rabbanan. How could the child be a mamzer? So the Gemara says, you're right, it's a great question. It's such a good question, we're going to do something we really don't like doing. And that is edit the Mishnah. Right? Chazal didn't like editing Mishnayos. Brises, all the time. Mishnayos, not so much. And the reason is because the Mishnayos were very, very well edited. Rebbe had a team of Talmidei Chachamim that went through the Mishnayos when he was Masadur the Mishnayos, and they were edited very, very, very thoroughly. The Braisa is not nearly as much. So to edit a Mishnah is always a big b'diavet. But the Gemara says, Tani, we have no choice. Edit the Mishnah and say, Krovas Grushasai, not Hanoisei Krovas Chalutzasai. That's only in this Rabbanan. Then the child wouldn't be a mamzer. But Tani, rather, Krovas Grushasai. What's Krovas Grushasai? That's a Chayvi Krisus. So for sure the child is going to be a mamzer. And the Gemara says that even though it's an edit, and we don't really like doing it, I'll prove to you from the Mishnah itself that this edit is appropriate. Ketani Seifu, because what the Mishnah is saying, the Seifu Moidim, Chamim agreed to Rabbi Akiva, Benoisei, Kroivas, Grushasoi, Shnavad Mamzer, that if somebody marries the Korov of Grushasoi, that the child is going to be a Mamzer. Says the Gemara, Iyam Rebishleim Ma'ayriba, Bishleim, if the Reish of the Mishnah was already talking about Krevas Grushasa, Yehainu Duktani Umaydim. So I understand why the Chachamim are mentioning it in the Sefer. Eli Iyam Rebishleim Ma'ayriba, but if No one ever said anything about Krevas Grusha Asai. Mayu Moidim. So why the Chachamim talking about Krevas Grusha Asai? Right, read the Mishnah. Hamachse Grusha Asai, Vanoise Chalutza Asai, Vanoise Krevas Chalutza Asai, they're the child's mamzer. The Chachamim say, no. However, we're Moida by Krevas Grusha Asai. We're saying anything about Krevas Grusha Asai. Why are you being Moida by Krevas Grusha Asai? We didn't say anything about Krevas Grusha Asai. If, however, we edit the Reish of the Mishnah, and instead of writing Krevas Chalutza Asai, we change the Gersa to Krevas Grusha Asai, so it comes out the Reish of the Mishnah mentioned Krevas Grusha Asai, which means Rabbi Akiva said three things. Machse Grusha Asai, Vanoise Chalutza Asai, Vanoise Krevas Grusha Asai, Vlad Manzer. Chalim say, I agree by Krevas Grusha Asai. So it's actually more matim. The Mishnah reads much better if you change the Gersa. So the Gemara says, even though we don't like changing Gersa, that's a last resort option. But at the same time, in this Mishnah, it's actually going to be very good. But the Gemara says, no, I disagree with you. Vidoma Hakam Ashmalan. Maybe the right Gersa of the Mishnah is the Gersa that we have. Not Krevas Grusha Asai, but Krevas Chalutza Asai. So what did the Chachamim mean when they said, Umoidim v'Krevas Grusha Asai? All they meant to say was, the Yesh Ramza, Mechai v'Krisos, they just wanted to say, we are Moida, not with what you said, Rabbi Akiva. We don't agree with anything that you said. Everything you said, Rabbi Akiva, we dispute. Machse Grusha Asai is Chai V'Lav, and Charles Anamamza. Anoise Chalutza Asai is Chai V'Lav, and the Charles Anamamza. Krevas Chalutza Asai, whatever that means, we don't know yet, Charles Anamamza. So what does it mean, Umoidim? Not umoida to what Rabbi Akiva said, we're moida to the concept, to the musig of mamzer. We agree that in the event that there's a chayvei krisus, then the child will be a mamzer. But the Gemara says, I don't need the chachamim to tell me that here in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalet, because Akhtani Lala Kamal, we're going to learn this later. Is that a mamzer? What's a mamzer? Kol she'er basa shubala yavad in Rabbi Akiva. Any chayvei lav. Reb Shimon HaTimani Yom, Reb Shimon HaTimani, who's the chachamim, by the way. So Reb Shimon HaTimani argues and said, kol she'chayav and all of karis, bidei shamayim. Whenever there's a chiv chorus, v'alochi gedvarav, and the Mishnah even says that we paskin like Rab Shimon HaTeimani. But the bottom line is that maybe the umoidim is not referring back to what Rabbi Akiva said, and that would then make it a hachinami mistabrit. Rabbi Akiva was talking about Krevas Grusha Asai. Maybe umoidim just means to the concept of, maybe it just means the concept of mamzeris. But the Gemara says it can't be, right? Because we know that already from later. But the Gemara says, no. Maybe the reason the Mishnah mentioned Umoidim to the concept of Mamzer, even though it's going to say it later on Daf Mem Tes, is because we wanted to have a Stam Mishnah. So like this, we'll know it's a Stam Mishnah. Once something's a Stam Mishnah, so then it's more Chashiv. But the Gemara says, in Cain, if that were the case, if all our Mishnah wants to say is that there's a Stam Mishnah, that a mamzer is a child that's born from a chayvei krisos, then listni shar chayvei krisos. Then just talk about a more typical case of chayvei krisos. Krovas grushasai lamali. Why are you talking about such a funny case of chayvei krisos? Krovas grushasai. Man was married, he divorced his wife. Now he went and he married her relative, had a child. That's the case of mamzer? Pashit, a case of achoisai. I don't know, one of your classic cases of arayas. Why are we talking about krovas grushasai? Elish manni, no. Ayriba, must be that we were talking about it. And if that's the case, that's a raya to the edit of the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva must have mentioned Krevas Grusha Asai, and that's what the Chacham telling Rabbi Akiva. I disagree with the first two things you said, but the case of Krevas Grusha Asai, that I do agree with. But the Gemara says, V'domo lo'olam lo'yayriba. Maybe really Rabbi Akiva wasn't talking about Krevas Grusha Asai, he was talking about Krevas Chalutza Asai. V'aydi the tani machse Grusha Asai, v'noisli Chalutza Asai, v'krevas Chalutza Asai, tani nami Krevas Grusha Asai. Says the Gemara, I don't know if your whole cheshbon is right. Meaning, we're changing the gersa from Krevas Chalutza Asai to Krevas Grusha Asai, which is a bidiyavit. But the Gemara says it's mistabra that way. Because if Rabbi Akiva wasn't talking about Krevas Grusha Asai, why are the Chachamim saying we are moida by Krevas Grusha Asai? Who's saying anything about Krevas Grusha Asai? So the Gemara, lo'olam, no one's saying anything about Krevas Grusha Asai. The moidim Chachamim is to the concept of a mamzer that comes from a chayvei krisos such as Krevas Grusha Asai, will be a mamzer. Frank, the Gemara, so why are you giving such a funny example? So the Gemara says now, maybe the reason we're giving this example, even though it's an interesting example of a chayvei krisos, is because it just flows much better with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Amachse grusha asay, vanoise chalutza asay, vanoise krevas chalutza asay." In all those cases, Rabbi Akiva says, "Avlam manzer." Chachamim argue, but Chachamim say, "I'll give you a case that's similar." Krevas grusha asay, meaning if in a vacuum somebody wanted to get up and teach the halachas of mamzer, you wouldn't say someone marries krevas grusha asay and has a child, the child's a mamzer. That would be interesting. But in the Hemshach to the beginning of the Mishnah, which is discussing very similar cases, Machzeh Yushasai, Kreves Chalutzasai, so then actually it does make sense. So the Gemara basically is saying that I don't agree with the edit. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Kiva said his halacha by Kreves Chalutzasai, you don't have a good basis to change it to Kreves Yushasai. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, if the Giras in the Mishnah is what we have, and that is Kreves Chalutzasai, is that like Kreves Chalutzasai, the Rabbi Akiva, Havi Manzer? What's Pashup Shah? Right? So again, you had a little bit of a shock of attire, but we return to our original question that we began the Gemara with. Rabbi Akiva said, "Hamachzeh grushaser, fatnoisei chalutzaser, fatnoisei kreves chalutzaser, yoytzi v'avad manzer." Bishleim hamachzeh grushaser is a chayvi lav. A child that's born from a chayvi lav is a manzer. Bishleim hamachzeh chalutzaser is a chayvi lav. A child that's born from a chayvi lav is a manzer. Oh, but kreves chalutzaser is a derabbanon. As we've seen, if that's the case, why is the Vlad Amamzer? Amr Rabbi Chiya Barab, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Hainu Tami Rabbi Akiva. Chiddush Nifla about to come. The Amar Krah, the pasuk says, Beis Chalutz Ano, Hakos of Kori Beis. The Torah says that when you do Chalitza, you're going to do Chalitza to the Beis Chalutz Ano. The Torah referred to the woman that you do Chalitza to as your bias, which means she's like your wife. And just like a person's awesome Midai Raisa to all the Krevim of his wife, the person's also, according to Rabbi Kiva, midday raisa to all the krevim is chalutza. Meaning, krevim is chalutza up until Yevamos Memdal and Alf was only in Issa de Rabbanan, not in Rabbi Akiva's world. In Rabbi Akiva's world, krevim is chalutza is in Issa de Raisa. It's a chai ve lavin. Ad kidei kach, if someone would have a child, the child would be a mamzer. How does he know that? Beis chalutza na. Beisai zuishtoi. First Mishnah Mesachtes Yuma, right? The chiper badu yubad beisai. Beisai zuishtoi. So, beis means ishtoi. A Torah korei. Beisai means ishtai, and as a result, he's going to be his wife. Why is this so interesting? Because when you think of chalitza, you always think of it as terminating an ishus, right? Chalitza is always like gerushin. Gerushin knocks out an ishus, chalitza knocks out an ishus, a koizal marry a grushin, a drabani can marry a chalitza. And over here we're saying, mamash faker, that once you do chalitza, it creates like an ishus, midai raisa, an ishus, so much so that just like a person's usher and all his wife's kraven, so too a person's going to be usher and all the kraven of chalutzasai, midai raisa. So much so that in Rabbi Akiva's world, if a child is born, the child is going to be a manzer. Zok de Gemara Vayter. But he can't marry Chalutza anyways because Kivin Shalaybana Shuv LaYivna. So regardless, he can't marry her. For that, you don't need Rabbi Akiva's Chiddush. Rabbi Akiva's Chiddush is that it's an Ishus Klapi all her Kreif. Right. I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'm Rabbi Shimon by Rabbi. Hakol Moedim. Everyone's Moedim. The Machzeh Grushasai. If someone's Machzeh Grushasai, Shnavlat Pogam Lekuhuna. That the child that's born is going to be Pogam Lekuhuna. Me. Rabbi Akiva said if someone's Machzeh Grushasai and has a child, the child's a mamzer. Why? Chavilat. Chamim argued. Chachamim said if someone has a child from a machzeh grushasai, chayvi lavin, the child is not going to be. Says the Gemara that even though Chamim hold the child's not a manzer, but the child is going to be a pogum. Now, pogum is a very important sif katan in the world of manzer. Manzer is very, very chamer. Lo yovei manzer v'kal Hashem. A pogum is a child that's not a manzer, but at the same time is restricted. The restrictions of a pogum are that a pogum is not allowed to marry a kai. So, Pagum, Pkuma, the male-female version of discussion, the Rishonim, whether it goes both ways. But the bottom line is that there is a concept of a Vlad Pagum. Rashi says the classic case of Pagum is, it's kedai to see Rashi inside, Vimyolda Bas, Psula, top line, the Kahuna Kechalal. So the Pagum is usually the daughter. She now becomes Pasul to be able to marry a Kohen. So even though the Chachamim hold that a child that's born from a Chayve Lavin is not a Mamzer, of a Pagum Miyahavin. The child is going to be a pogum. This child, let's go with the way Rashi learns, if she's a bas, she's a girl, the halacha is, she's not going to be able to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, man hakol moide. When Dami Rom said, everyone is moide. Who's everyone? Means Shimon HaTeimani, who is the Shita HaChachamim, that holds mamzer only comes from a chayvi kriyas. That's right, Shimon HaTeimani is the Chachamim. Not to get confused, it's the Shita HaChachamim. Da'afa gavdama Shimon HaTeimani, even though Shimon HaTeimani, the Chachamim said, ein mamzer mechayvi lavin, that there's no mamzer mechayvi lavin, nehi the mamzer lehava, even though it's true the child's not going to be a mamzer, a pogam yahava, the child will be a pogam. Okay, how do you know this? What's the makar? So the Gemara mi kal v'chaymer me'alman. I know it kal v'chaymer me'alman. Uma almana l'koyin gadol. Ma d'chav a koyin gadol would marry an almana. Now, koyin gadol is not allowed to marry a man. A koyin can't marry a grusha, but can marry an almana. The koyin gadol wasn't even allowed to marry an almana. He had to marry a psula. So an almana, by definition, is presumed to not be a psula. There's an almana in Eris and also. But the bottom line is a koyin gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Now, if a koyin gadol would marry an almana, the halach is a child that's born, that child would be a pogrom. So says the Gemara. The Amman is only asif to the Kohen Gadol. She's allowed to marry any other man she wants. So her Isser is not Shava Bakal. It's not a universal Isser. It's a very tailored, customized Isser. It's only to the Kohen Gadol. Still, the Alach is benach pogrom. If she has a child, the child's going to be a pogrom. Zushi is Surah Shava Bakal. So this woman, this Grusha, whose Isser is Shava Bakoil, so says the Gemara, Eino Din Shebna Pogum. So certainly, if in the event that she has a child, the child should be a Pogum. So the Gemara says, Madachan Amano, whose Isser is not an Isser Chomer, right? It's not such a Chomer Diga Isser, because all she is Asr to is to the Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol and the Amano would have a child, the child would be Pogum like Kohuna. So Kavachomer, if someone's Machzer Grusha Asai, which is an Isser that Shava Bakoil, why? Because every man that divorces his wife, when she marries someone else, has the Isser now to go back and marry her. So the Isser Machzer Grusha Asai is an Isser that Shava Bakoil. So being that it's an Isser that Shava Bakoil, certainly the child should be a Pogum. But the Gemara says, thus it's based on this Kavachomer. Let's just meditate on this for a second. It says, based on this Kavachomer that Damayram said, who said it? Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Shimon ben Rebbe, that Rav Yosef, that Rav Shimon ben Rebbe, that if someone's Machzer Grusha Asai, even according to the that the child is not going to be a mamzer, but the child is going to be a pogrom. And again, what's the makar? Very important for the cheshbon of the Gemara. It's learned out from a kal v'chaymer. It's learned out from an almana l'kohen gadol. Almana l'kohen gadol, we have a pasuk that says if they have a child, the child is going to be a pogrom. Kal v'chaymer, a child that's born from machzik v'chasim. What's the kal v'chaymer? What makes one kal and one chomer? Almana l'kohen gadol is kal because the isser almana is an isser she'ena shava bakal. Because it's a very exclusive isser, it makes it in the pantheon of Isurim, a less chomer Isser. Machzer Grusha Asai, every single man has. It, in the event of, right? It has to play out. But in the event it plays out, he would have the lava Machzer Grusha Asai. So with Shava Bakal, every single Yid is mitzvah technically on Machzer Grusha Asai. I mean that's the case. If it comes out, it's an Isser, that Shava Bakal. So certainly, if a child's going to be born, the child should be a pogrom. Zok de Gemara. But I have a problem with this kal v'chaymer. Ikla Mifrach, Mali Almano, Shekein Hi Atzma, Mischaleles. When a Kohen Gadol is born an Almana, the Almana now becomes possible to a Kohen. An Almana is allowed to marry a Kohen. Just a Kohen Gadol, she can't. If, however, she has a Bias Isser, she becomes Asser now to a Kohen. If someone's Machzer Grusha Asser, will this wife that he was just Machzer, this Grusha, now become Asser to a Kohen? No, she was anyways Asser to a Kohen. So the Gemara says that maybe the reason if someone, a Kohen Gadol, has a child with an almana, the child is pogum, is because the Kohen Gadol is being poigim the almana. She's now becoming possible kohuna. So being that you're being poigim the almana, so the child is also going to be a pogum. As opposed to someone that's machzer grusha, where you're not being poigim the grusha, because she's doch anyways pogum, so could be it's going to be more lenient as far as the child goes as well. So ikel mifrach, kasha number one on the kal v'chaymer. We'll see, there'll be three kashas. Kasha number one, mala almana shekeni yatsma mischalelas. So maybe by machzer grusha, where he asks with any mischalelas, you don't have it, but oi, that's veta kasha. It says in the parasha machzer grusha, he toyeva. It says the word heat, layuchal baila harisha in asha shilcha lasha bakahta liya slay laisha, achare asha hutama ki toyeva he. And we learn from there, she's a toyeva, she has a problem, but the imbonea toyeva. Her children don't have problems. So I have a drasha in the parasha, machzer grusha asai, to teach me that the children are actually not going to be pogum. Oh, then I'll ask you a third kasha from a braisa. A machzer grusha asai. If someone's machzer grusha asai, anaisa chalutz asai, someone marries his chalutz, anaisa krevis chalutz asai. All three cases that we had in our Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva says, "Ein leibak kedushin." The kedushin is not toifus. Rabbi Kiva holds kedushin is not toifus of chayvi lavim. The inet zricha men a get. As a result, she doesn't need a get. Vehi pesula. She is now possible to be able to marry a kohen because of this bias iser. She won't be able to marry a kohen. Uvlad the possible. The child's going to be a mamzer. That's Rabbi Kiva shita. The koyfen oisel haitzi and we force them to separate. The chachamim say yesh leibak kedushin. Kedushin is toifus because that's chachamim shita. Kedushin is toifus bechayvi lavim. Vetzricha men a get because kedushin's toifus. If you have no choice but to give her a get. Vehi ksheira. She's kosher. Uvlad the kosher. And the Vlad is also kosher. This is what we're going to focus on. So the Gemara says, Laman, when it says Uvlad or kosher, if a child is born from these three cases, one of them is Machzer Grusha Asai, who is the child kosher to? Probably Lav the Kohuna. So what do you see from there? And if you see it's she's kosher the Kohuna, so you see clearly the Vlad is not a pogrom. In other words, the Chur, we seem to have a Mefurish Abraisa, not like this Chiddish, that if the child is born from Machzer Grusha Asai, even according to Chum, that the child's not a mamzer, but the child is going to be a pogrom. So really, we ask three kashas.
So
We had a kasha on the actual Kalvachaymer. We had a pirk on the Kalvachaymer. We had a posik, he toyev, vein banat toyevim, and now we just brought a brisa. So the Gemara now is going to focus on the brisa. We're going to go backwards. First, we're going to answer the third kasha, then the second kasha, and then the first kasha. So we're going tzedek tzedek. But the bottom line is, we're going in reverse. Now, what was the third kasha? A mefurish brisa. The brisa says, according to the Chachamim, he ksheru vlad ksheru. So the Gemara, when it says that the vlad is kasha, doesn't mean the Gemara says loy lekal. When it means it's not ksheru lekahuna, it means that she's going to be ksheru lakahal. If she wants to get married, lakahal, meaning she's not a mamzer. The Gemara says, if that's the case, he ksheru. The Chachamim said in the Braisa, he ksheru uvlad ksheru. So if you're telling me vlad ksheru, it doesn't mean ksheru, because really she's pasal lakai. So what does it mean, ksheira? It means lakal. So then that means he ksheira needs to be consistent. So he ksheira l'man, ilim lakal. Doesn't mean he ksheira lakal. Pshita, mishum desanya ifsalei lakal. No one ever heard a halacha that if a woman's mezana, she can't get married ever again. No, she's also labal, she's also labayil, she's also to a kayin, but that she can never get married, no one ever heard of such a thing. Elo lav lakuna. So when it says he ksheira, what does Chachamim mean to say? She's ksheira to a kayin. So if that's the case, vlada ksheira must also mean to a kohen. And really what we must be saying is that vlada is ksheira lakuna. It's ksheira lakuna. It's not like the Kal v'chaim, the Gemara says, mida irya, not a taina. Hakadisa. Maybe when it says he ksheira, it means ksheira lakuna. And when it says vlada ksheira, it means vlada ksheira lakahal, to teach me that the child is not a mamzer, but la'olam, as it relates to being able to marry a kohen, maybe really she's going to be also to marry a kohen. And the Gemara says, achinami mistabra, I'll prove to you that he ksheru, vlad ksheru, doesn't have to mean the same thing. That he ksheru could be ksheru to one thing, uvlad kosher can mean kosher to something else. Now I know that. Tani Reisha from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the Reisha. He said, he psula, uvlad psula. Then all these chai b'lavin situations, she becomes possible and the child's possible. So Gemara says, very simple. He psula man. When it says that she's possible, who does it mean possible to? Elim in the call. Does it mean she's possible to call? Mishun desanya ifsalei the call. What? Rabbi Akiva doesn't, just because he holds Kedusha is not Teufas B'chaybi Lavin, Vlad Mamza B'chaybi Lavin, doesn't mean he holds that if a Chaybi Lavin has a bia, all of a sudden she becomes awesome, she can never get married again. El Lav Lekuna. So what does Psula mean? Psula Lekuna. Now, Vlad Apostle, when Rabbi Akiva said the Vlad is Apostle, the man, what was he referring to? Elim Lekuna, didn't he mean Apostle to a Kayin? Halakal Kasher? What, you're going to tell me that she's Kasher Lekal? I'm Rabbi Akiva said, Avlad Mamza. The child is Mamza, which means he's Apostle Lekal. El Pshito Lekal. So it's Pashin, it means Lekal. So Rabbi Akiva said, right, very, very simple. Rabbi Akiva said, let's pick that case. He psula, uvlada psula. Obviously, he psula and vlada psula don't mean the same thing. He psula means she can never marry a kohen. Vlada psula means the child's a mamzer, can't marry anyone. So you see that he and vlad is not the same thing. Is it umid the reisha hakadi isa v'hakadi isa? So just like in Rabbi Akiva and the reisha, when it says he psula, vlada psula, it's not the same. She's psula to... And the children are pasul azoy. She to kayin and him to the vlad. So it could be seifa nami hakadi isa for hakadi isa. So it could be the seifa is going to be the same thing. So when the chachamim said in the seifa he ksheru vlad kasher, he ksheru means she's kasher the kahuna. Uvlad kasher means the vlad is kasher only lakal, but really pasul the kahuna. And if that's the case, this brisa is not a kasha. On the halacha. The halacha was saying is that even though the chacham over that a child is born from a chayvi lav, from a machzik grush asoy, is going to be kosher, but it's only kosher lakal, it's going to be possible lakay. Don't we have a mefurish b'raisa that said, he kosher with vlad kosher? Vlad kosher sounds like even lakay. No, vlad kosher only means kosher lakay. So we knock kosher lakal, but really she's going to be possible lakay. So we answered the third question, right? We said there were three kashas, we're going backwards. So we answered kasha number three, which was the kasha from the b'raisa. What about the second kasha? Second kasha was, it says in the parasha Machzik Rishasai, Toyeva hi. And Toyeva hi sounds like she's a Toyeva. However, the children are not Toyeva. Oh, so you see the children are not Toyeva. Not Toyeva means they can marry anybody. Gemara says, no. The hi Toyeva nami, when it says hi Toyeva the ain't sarasa Toyeva. He is Mamait, it's a good diak, but not Lamait the children, rather Lamait the tsara. In the event, there was, she falls liyibum, the machzik rishasai, and there's another wife. So there's a shayla, a whole sugya, one of the hardest sugyas in the beginning of the Masechta, was the sugya of tsaras machzik rishasai. And what the Gemara is saying is that a tsaras machzik rishasai is not a tsaras erva, and it's learned out from hi tayeva, the machzik rishasai in the world of yibum, without going back there, is a problem. But the tsara is not a problem. As it relates to the children, tayeva, nah, could be they are tayeva. What does it mean tayeva? They're going to be pasal lakuna. Okay, so we answered the second question. What are we left with? We're left with the first question. What was the first question? We had a pirchan de etzim kal v'chaim. What was the makar to say that a child that's born from machzik rishasai, even though it's not a mamz according to chum, but the child's still going to be a pogrom? Kal v'chaimer from amana l'kayin gadol. Madach a kayin gadol and amana that have a child, the child is a pogrom. That's apparently learned out from a pasuk. Kal v'chaimer, if a child's born from a machzik rishasai, the child should be a pogrom. And why is it a kal v'chaimer? Because amana, that is less chamor than Issa Machzik Rishasai. Why? Because Issa Ramon is a lav she'ena shava bakoil, and Issa Machzik Rishasai is a lav that is shava bakoil. So the Gemara says, El Alman, and but what was the Gemara's taina? The Gemara says, I have a pircha on it. What's the pircha? An Almana herself, when she's with the Kohen Gadol, is mischaleles. She now becomes pasul to the Kohen. The Machzik Rishasai, when she's with her husband, doesn't now become pasul to the Kohen. Why? Because she's anyways pasul to the Kohen. So that was a pircha on the actual Kal V'chaimer. It says the Gemara, Ela Almana, Kasha, that question that we asked earlier, the pircha on the actual Kal V'chaimer of Mala Almana Shekein Hi Atzma Mischaleles. Right, that's a very good Kasha. We'll just finish the Gemara. Eli Yitma Achi Yitma. So you have to say, you're right, we had like a wrong version in this whole discussion. The whole Amid Gemara, we clearly got it wrong. So let's go back now to what Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Rav Shimon bar Rebbe. We're going to tweak it, and everything's going to be good. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Shimon bar Rebbe. What Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Shimon bar Rebbe was the following. Hakol moedim bebal chai vekrisos shavlat pogam. Not hakol moedim bemachzeg rishasoy shavlat pogam. But hakol moedim bebal chai vekrisos shavlat pogam. So the Gemara says, hakol moedim bebal chai vekrisos shavlat pogam. Chai vekrisos, the vlad is a mamzer. So what does it mean, hakol moedim, that the vlad's a pogam? So the Gemara, man hakol moedim. Who's the hakol? Who's everybody? That child's a mamzer. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua. The third sheet that we mentioned in the introduction. The third sheet of mamzer. Even the Rabbi Yeshua holds. Ein mamzer mechai vekrisos. That a mamzer doesn't come from a chai vekrisos. It has to be what? A chai vemises bezdin. Nay, the mamzer lehava. Even though the child's not a mamzer, but pogam yehava. A pogam will be. And how do I know that? Mikal v'chaimer me'almano. I know kal v'chaimer me'almano. Ma, almano l'kohen gadol she'ein yisur shava bakol. Ma, the chamano l'kohen gadol, where the iser is not shava bakol. B'na pogum, zu, she'isur shava bakol. A situation where there's a chayvim mitzvah bezin, which is one of the arayas, which is shava to everybody, right? Everyone is subject and bound by the yisur arayas. In it, didn't shava pogum. So certainly the child is going to be a pogum. V'chit heima, you're going to ask me the question we asked before. Mal amada shekein hi atzma mischalalas. Amada herself becomes a chalala. So maybe that's why the child is pogum. Achanami here. It's the same thing. Kivin Shabala Asa Zaino. If someone's born a Chavi Mises Bez, then she also becomes a Chalala. When the Kal V'chaimer was from Amana to Machzeg Rishasai, there was a Percha. The Amana becomes Psula, the Kuhuna, Al Yidei this Biyah. The Machzeg Rishasai, the Grusha doesn't, because she was anyways a problem. But now that we're dealing with Chavi Mises Bez, then this woman that's a Chavi Mises Bez, then all she is she's a relative of this man. No one said she ever did anything or anything ever happened to her that would suggest that maybe she should be Pasul Akayin. As a result, she will become a chalala now as well. You don't have the pircha, and if you don't have the pircha, zok to Gemara, that must be what the Kal V'chaimer was. The Kal V'chaimer was that even Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that ordinarily by a chayvei krisus, the child is not a mamzer, but by a chayvei krisus, Rabbi Yeshua would agree that the child would, at the very least, be a pogam.